This morning, we'll be in the 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. We know that school is going to start back before long, is that correct? And school makes you think of children, a time of tests that you have to go through all during school, and the teachers, they have to give these tests and grade these tests. And, you know, that's what life is all about, just about is about tests. And, you know, you're in school, and then one of these days you'll be getting your driving license test and your tests going on to jobs. And you see, when you get old, there'll be more tests. They're what we call the doctor's test. Always going, they're going to have some testing done. So you'll be in test all your life. And then I'm going to tell you something else. After you die, they're going to be another test. They're going to be another test. It's not over with. Because you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. We're all going to stand. And we're all going to give account. We're all going to be tested. Now, for the Christians, we're going to be tested from the time that we were saved until the time we breathe our last breath. And God allowed us to be born in this world and breathed in us to the breath of life. And this test, one of these days, we're going to know and understand more what the Bible, when he talks about, we've been bought with a price. We are not ourselves. We belong to Jesus Christ. From the time I've been saved to the time I breathe my last breath, there'll be a test that I'll have to stand before Jesus Christ. The test of my works, what I did with all the abilities, the talent that God has given me in this life from time that I was saved till time that I leave this world. There's a test, and this test is going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you thought about this or not, but you're going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ. It's either in the judgment seat of Christ, it's just that is for the believers. Or either it's going to be for the lost person that would not accept Jesus Christ. It's what's called the great white throne judgment. And only the lost people stand there, but still that Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. The judge of what you've done with Jesus Christ in this world and how you rejected him. But for you and I today that knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and if you don't, I hope that you will before you leave here today, this will be the first day of your life, that you'll come face to face with Jesus Christ one of these days. If you are saved, you are a called child, and you are a gifted child. And Romans 11 and 29 says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're not revocable. What he's given you, what he's called you, they are not revocable. He's given you. You will stand before God for the gifts and for the calling that God has given you in this life. They without revocable, without repentance. God has given you spiritual gift, a supernatural gift. Everybody that's saved have at least one. Many people have more than that. And that is the ability to work and to worship him and to glorify Jesus Christ is a gift that God has given you. So let's read these scriptures 9 through 11, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And it says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husband. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, stubbles, every man works shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But him himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the great, great word, for the power of the word of God. Father, for the Spirit of God that carries it to our hearts. And Lord, and teaches us. Father, we want to thank you now, Lord, that you have loved us so much. And Father, you gave yourself on Calvary's cross that, Lord, that we might have this life and we might have it more abundantly. Father, help us to understand, Father, that we're not ourselves. We belong to you because you paid that great price. And that price with your own precious blood and your life. And God, how that we need to be more builders upon that great foundation of Jesus Christ, that others might know you as Lord and Savior. Father, here this day as you overshadow this church, Lord, we know that you're in us today. Father, we know that you are around us. And we just pray, Lord, the shattering of that Holy Spirit of God. Father, the hearts that here is laid open. Father, we just pray, God, that there be one person or more, God, this day that you might call into your kingdom, Father, for the work that you might be glorified, Father, in their life. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for what you've already done today in our Sunday school hour, in the praise and worship here in song service. Father, we want to thank you, Father, what you're going to do for the far saints of his service today, that we all might say we was proud being in the house of the Lord this day. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. As I said, one day we will give account for our stewardship and our gifts that Jesus Christ has brought to us. Brought into accountability, you and I. You're going to stand accountable for what God has given you in this life and how that you have used your life for the glory of God, the accountability. What did you do with the gift, he says, that I've given to you? You're going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ one day. Now, it could be great encouragement to know that you're going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ, or it could be great remorse. It's according to how that you live your life, and according to that song that Ray just sung, there may be some room, might be more than one room in your life that really that you have not given the Lord Jesus Christ. As you stand before him and he's opened up those doors in your life and let you look back upon it, it might be some great remorse and you see some things that should not have been there, some things that you should have done for Jesus Christ. You didn't. Or there might be great encouragement whenever the Lord says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You see, there might be encouragement or there might be remorse. But the judgment seat of Christ is to the saved. And Paul is talking to the church at Corinth there and to the saved. And there's three judgments to the saved people that we must understand this morning. There's a judgment as sinners. God, we know we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But also there's a judgment of sonship for the saved. But then also there's a judgment of what we call the servant. All three of these are the judgment that God is going to judge us by Jesus Christ. Now, we see the judgment of the sinner. Now, that judgment has already took place. It's in my past. Whenever I accepted Jesus Christ, because he took my place on Calvary's cross, he took my place in a place called hell, he took my suffering, he took my shame, and carried it all to the cross. And he says, it is finished. It is finished. Paid in full. It means that I settled out of court. In Romans 8:1, it tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is that judgment that we're talking about. Now, that judgment means already in the past. That's took place. When Jesus died, I died. 2,000 years ago, when you accept Jesus Christ, your past judgment and our sins are put in the grave of God's forgiveness. Everything that I'd done, I was a newborn creature in Jesus Christ when I accept him. And that means all my past sin was put in the past. That was a past judgment that God judged Jesus Christ, and I was put on that cross with him. And all my sins is in that great grave of forgiveness of God. That's my past. But you see, now there is also a present judgment going on right now if you're a saved person. And that judgment day is sonship. That is relationship and sonship or daughtership, we might say. We're saved by the grace, we're kept by the grace, but also we're going to give account when we disobey God in this life we're living now. There's going to be a judgment. God judges us all the time. See, relationship is established. That will never be changed. When you're saved, you're saved forever. That will never be changed, relationship. But then fellowship can be changed. According, you know, when we get out of relationship sometime with our family, You get a relationship, but they still your family, your child, your son, your daughter, whatever they may be. You had a relationship, but they still belong to you. Same thing we find out in the Word of God. But when we disobey, God will carry us to the woodshed because we are His children. That is the judgment that's going on in the present right now while we are saved. The present. Remember now, as sinners, that's past. But now there's a present judgment going on right now. Hebrews 12 and 6 says, For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scorneth every son whom He receiveth. That's the judgment that's going on to you from the time that you're saved all the way to the time that you leave this earth. That a present judgment is going on. Hebrews 6 and 8 said, But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are illegitimate. That means that God says, I never fathered you. You're not my son. There's a present judgment going on all the time. To our children, a lot of time, whenever they used to spank children, you don't do that anymore. You just dialogue with them. But used to, you know, they used to spank children. And you know, I don't know if some of you might say this, you know what? I'm going to do this. Your daddy might have told you and your mother, I'm going to do this because I love you. I love you. That's the reason I'm going to do this. You see, that's the reason God carries us to the woodshed when we disobey, because He loves us. He loves us too much to allow us to stay in this disobedient stage that we're in. So that's a present judgment that's going on as we are sons and daughters of God. That is a present. But you see, one of these days, brothers and sisters saved, there are going to be a future judgment. A future judgment. Now that is the judgment of the servant, which you are a servant of God. God gave us all these spiritual gifts to serve Him. Now, we all going to give account of our stewardship, what He's given us in this life. No matter what it is, He's going to call us back now, and we're going to stand for Him as a servant. Verse 9 again in this chapter that I read, For God's building, we are the stones, built up, foundation of Jesus Christ. Ye, He says. Now, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. But in the New Testament, He has a people for His temple. He lives within us. In verses 10 and verse 11 again, I'll read this again. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I've laid the foundation and another built thereon, but let every man take how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul says, the foundation that I preach at Corinth, the foundation I'm preaching to you in this letter, he says, God laid this foundation. And then you see the rest of that verses I read, 12, 13, 14, 15, talking here about this test. Now, the background is this church at Corinth, a very, very carnal church. And there's two different types of buildings that he was talking about. He says there's carnal, and he says also there's spiritual. Paul said in the first verses of this chapter, he said, I could not speaking to you as spiritual, but as carnal. You was not able to stand it. As babies, you was not able to stand it. You was not mature. Spiritual and carnal. So they were using their spiritual gift as toys in this church and not tools. Now, naturally, we live by the supernatural, but they was using something that Paul talks about here, wood, hay, and stubbles. Now, you see, he gives a contrast now between what? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, one of these materials are combustible. They're going to burn up. But now you see the gold and the silver and these precious stones, they won't. Why? Because how do you get gold? How do you get silver and these precious stones? It all comes by fire. They've already been tested. They've already been through the fire. They will not burn. They are not combustible as they would stubble and hay because they've already been tried. Your works have been going to be tried. It's already been tried. Already been, he says, through the fire, these precious stones. They're permanent. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 tells us that we must all appear. Did you understand all? Every one of us, every child of God is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that every one of us will receive the things done in the body according to that he have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. One of these days, you see, they got all type of computers now. You see, the government's got all type of things. They can listen to your telephones, and we don't know everything else. They can just listen to everything, and they might record everything. But God's got a great computer, too. One of these days that I'm going to stand, like I said, it could be encouragement, or, you know, it could be remorse, that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ. And he's going to let me review my life. And now he's going to let me see everything I've done, good or bad, in my life. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. Some of the things that you're not going to be very proud of. Some of the things you're going to have remorse about. But you're going to have a review. Everything from the time that you were saved till God time calls you home, because the future judgment. The past judgment and the present judgment already took place. Now you're dead. You're standing before Jesus Christ. And right now it's a future judgment. But you're going to be judged knowing these things. Everything that you see. Judgment of sin has been passed. When we die, that judgment, you know, as a son is going to be passed. And then we're going to stand before God as a servant. The judgment of fire. You're going to have to stand before the torch test. The torch test. Now, most of us won't be here 50 years from now. Most of us won't be here 20 years from now. And a lot of us won't be here 10 years from now. And we may not, none of us, be here, because it might be the rapture of the church. We don't know. But right now, our judgment that I'm talking about is in the future. But one day it's going to be in the presence, because you're going to stand in the presence of God. I'm going to heaven, you say. Well, a lot of people, they say, well, I'm going to heaven. What difference does it make whether I have wood, hay, or stubbles, or gold, or silver, or precious stones? What difference is it going to make? Well, I'm going to tell you the difference, because they're going to be a torch test. And you're going to find out the difference. The Bible has already given it to us. And to start with, you see, they're going to be a day of revelation. As I said, it's going to be revealed, the things you've done in this life. Those doors that Ray sung about again, thank you, Ray, is going to be opened up. All of them is going to be opened up. I'm just glad God don't flash my life upon that screen and let you see my life. Would you like for this church to know everything about your life from the time that you were saved to this day and flash it upon that board? Would you like that? Would anybody say, yeah, I'd like for everybody to know my life from the time I was saved until to this day right now? Would you like that? Would you like that to happen? I don't believe none of us would, because I think we've all failed the Lord. But one day it will. One day this is going to happen. It could be a frightening thought to you, but it's reality, and it is a truth according to the Word of God. It says there in verse 13 again, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works to see what sort it is. You know, I can fool you and you can fool me, but I'm going to tell you what, you can't fool the torch test. You won't be able to fool the torch test. That day, things are going to look different to you than they do now. You're unconcerned about your dedication to Jesus Christ, your commitment, you're just unconcerned. But one of these days, things are going to look different to you than what they look today. Because you're going to see things in the light of eternity. We're going to see things from God's viewpoint and not from your carnal viewpoint. You know, in the Old Testament, Samuel was told to go anoint a king for the nation of Israel and go to the house of David for one of his sons. So Samuel went there and he saw his tall, good-looking son. He said, boy, he'd make a good king, I think. But he went to the Lord, and God says, no, not that one. 1 Samuel 16 and 7 tells us, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on his height or his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord hath not seen as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. He seen on the inside. He looked beyond the things that we see and looked at the heart. But now David was a man after God's own heart. And there was a group of people, whenever Jesus Christ was speaking to him about their works, and Luke 16 and 15 says, Jesus said, and he said unto them, you are they which justify yourself before men. You think you got good works before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men. You think you're doing real good to men? He said, but it's an abomination in sight of God. God knows these things. Trusted in their works. It didn't impress God. There's some other things that we do, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to impress God. Because we see, what's going to determine what impresses God is the fire test. There's a wood pile. There's firewood, and also then there's diamonds. Which would you like to have? Say a torch test is coming to this life. You're going to give an account. They're going to be a torch test. And you're going to be tested according to your attitudes. your attitude of things that you've done. 1 Corinthians 16:9, 16, and 17 says, as we look so many times and we think about what we've done, for though I preach, it says, the gospel, talk about Paul, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a disposition of the gospel is committed unto me. If I do this willingly, you're going to be torch test on the things that you've done and why that you've done them. They may be a good thing, but your attitude, did you do this willingly? We fixed to have a new church year. And you see, there's a lot of officers of our church, a lot of people in position. And you say, well, I reckon I'll do this, but why are you doing this? The attitude test. Really, why are you here this morning? This is an attitude test this morning. Why are you? Why did you come this morning? You see, this will be judged one of these days. You sitting right here in this church will be judged. Why do you sing the song that you sing? You know, why do you teach? Why did you give in the offering plate that you give? Why did you do this? Why do you serve? You see, there's a right attitude for what we do, and there's a wrong attitude, but that will be judged. I don't know that. I don't know what's in your mind, why, but God will. There's a test of fire about your attitude, why you did this, and your attitude that you done it. But then also there's going to be a test according to your authority of why you done this. Why and also of what you done. In 2 Timothy 2:5 it tells us, and if any man also strive for majesty, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Here it's talking about running a race. You see in the Olympics they run these races. Sometimes they run around and around, and you may be running on that field, and you see the rest of the runners ahead of you, and you think to yourself, man, if I cut across this field, I'll get ahead of them. Well, you will, but you won't win a medal. You won't win a medal because, you see, you got to do this in the right attitude, and you got to do this, you see, lawfully. He's got this for the authority. To obey is better than sacrifice. Whatever God has told you to do, why do you do it? Do you want to do it? With the right attitude, we want to do it. And then you see the third thing that's going to be according to our ability. You see, God has given every one of us different abilities. You see, some can sing, you know, and some can give more than others, and you know, and some can praise, and some do all these different abilities. Well, Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, it says, For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Jesus Christ was in the temple, and you see, in the temple, the time of Jesus Christ, and we had the box of Joash about a month ago, you see, and everybody come by and they brought their offerings, and that's what they done in Bible times. They brought their offerings to the box, to the treasure chest. And Jesus Christ was in the temple as people was coming by bringing their offerings to the temple. And you see, they were offering this, and some of the rich people they was giving. And then this widow lady was coming, and she put in 2 pennies. You know what Jesus Christ said? She gave all she had, and she gave more than all the rest of them. She gave more than all the rest of them. Why? Because she gave all she had, and she just depended on God. You see, it's not about what you write on a check. It's what's about left when you get through with that check. She gave all that she had, she put in there. According to your ability. You see, many times it's just we think about our ability. And what's God done for you and what's God done for me that he's given us this ability? And what ability does he give us as you think about this? Mary anointed Jesus' feet and with that very expensive ointment. In Mark chapter 14:6, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She have wrought a good work in me. It was according to her ability. She done what she could. She gave all she had. She gave according to her ability, every one of us. Now, don't look at other people and say, boy, if I had her money, or boy, if I could sing like them, or boy, if I could do this, or I. Don't look at other people, because you see, God doesn't compare you with anybody else. God does not compare you with any other Christian. Stop comparing yourself with any other Christian. It's your ability that God give you. Not what he give me or what he give someone else. He give you. the test according to our aspiration. You see, what we want to do is the most important thing. David wanted to build a temple for God. God says, no, your hands are stained with blood. 1 Kings 8, 7 and 8 tells us, and it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thy heart to build a house unto my name, thou dost well that it was in thy heart. I mean, it was real good that you wanted to do it. God says, I know what you wanted to do. You see, you know what? God knows what we want to do. God knows what we want to do. And I tell you something else. God knows what's in our heart. What's wrong with I be? And what's wrong with many of us that's sitting right here today? It's not in our heart. It's not in our heart. It's not in your heart to be faithful to the Lord. It's not in your heart to have the commitment that God commanded you to have to the service of this church. It's not in your heart to have the worship to the Lord as we should have. It's not in our heart to tithe the tithe that He asked us to tithe. It's not in our heart to pray as we should. It's not in our heart to sow win. And then God stopped me. And I says, are you talking to me, Lord? He says, well, you're going to stand before me one day, aren't you? I said, yes, sir, I'm appearing this sermon, and I got to stand before you like everybody else. He asked me the question, is it in your heart to be a soul winner? What is in your heart this hour? There's a lot of things should be in our heart that's not in our heart. And this makes a great difference. Our aspiration, it's not in our heart. As you think about this. And then the second thing, they're going to be a day of rewards. They're going to be a day of rewards one of these days. Verse 14, if any man's work abides which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. A reward. As you think about this, the judgment seat of Christ. There's what we call a doctrine of rewards in the Bible. A lot of people don't believe this. When you get to heaven, they're going to be rewarded. Didn't I just read that? Didn't I just read that in the Bible? But a lot of people don't believe this. Whether you believe it or not, there's doctrines of rewards in the Bible. It says when will we get to heaven. Now, of our works. Now, our works don't bring us to heaven, but they do follow us. Every verse of Scripture, Revelation 14 and 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. Revelation 22 and 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my rewards is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Matthew 6 and 20 says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There is a reward according to the Bible. Wednesday night, I wish more people to come on Wednesday night. How faithful are you on Wednesday night? Wednesday night, I gave you five of these demands of stewardship, which we are. And I'll read them again to you. You own nothing, and God owns everything. You own nothing, and God owns everything. Two, everything you have, God gave it to you. You know, God has a way of blessing you in sometimes mysterious ways, didn't He? And I was reading these scriptures. You know what? Something happened to me and George. Yes, we went to Walmart. You know, you can't go to Waycross without going to Walmart. George thinks. Anyway, there was a lot of people at Walmart, and we bought a sack of dog food. About 20 pounds, I think, and I think about $12. And you know how it is. You try to get out of Walmart, there's always a line of people. They don't never have enough of cashiers. Well, I was kind of getting energetic, you know, ready to go, you know. And this lady, we got over there one, just about getting there. She was going to check us out, and her computer messed up or something. She had to wait a while. I wanted to look around and see if I could find another one. I waited there, and a lady come up back to us, and another come up back to us. We was in a line then. We had this dog food. Checked us out. It was $12, I think. And this lady back of me said, hey, I used to have raised dogs. They send me a bunch of these coupons through the mail. and they get $11 off with this Purina dog food. I had a $12 pack of dog food, and she gave me $11 coupon that I used. Now, that's a little thing, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, you might think this is coincidental. Well, all the people in Walmart, and there I was there in a sack of dog food that had to be Purina, and all the people checked out with us, and with all the others, and that lady just so happened to be back of us, and she just so happened to see Purina, and she just so happened to have a coupon. That wasn't no so after. God said, I just want to tell you, this is a little thing, I just want to tell you. If I could do this for little things, can I do this for big things? Whew, well, I tell you, that'll blow you away. Of all the people of Walmart, and everything happened just like it did. Everything that I have, God give me. And I tell you, the third thing, you're not owners of nothing. You are a manager and a steward. Then I come back with these things that sound like I repeat myself. The fourth thing, on earth, everything I have, God gave to me. Now I want you to listen. And I didn't even know I was going to preach on this message as on Wednesday night. In eternity, all that I'm going to have is what I gave God. The rewards. But I'm not talking about salvation. All that I will have when I stand before Him is what I've gave Him with precious stones, silver and gold. Doctors of rewards. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You know, sometimes people suffer and they don't see the fruit. A lot of people on mission fields. And they don't see the fruit of their suffering. Richie Allen, I just talked to him this past month, and him and his wife, and you know, they went into the jungles, and at first they didn't see too much evidence, see much fruit, but he's telling me, boy, he says, people are really coming now. We got the leader of this band, this tribe, he says, saved the other day. And you see, now the fruits are coming because he built on that foundation. Now, I come to Pleasant Hill. You know, I didn't come to Pleasant Hill expecting to stand in Brother Darrell's shoes. When I took the office of this church, I come to stand on Darrell's shoulders. The foundation he had already laid. And Brother Darrell didn't come and stand in the foundation. I mean, stand on in the shoes of Brother Owen. He came and stood on Brother Owen's shoulders. And added to the foundation. And it goes right on back. And I hope it goes right on forward. Because it's not my foundation, it's Jesus Christ. Wasn't Brother Darrell's, it was Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about. As we stand on each other's shoulders, and this foundation that God has given to mankind, there's going to be a time now of being faithful. The books are going to be opened. The time of revelation, a time of rewards. Yes, there are going to be some crowns the Bible speaks of. I don't think you're going to go into heaven and kind of shout around the crown you got, because you see, you're going to look at Jesus Christ, and He's the reason that you're going to have these crowns, and then you're going to be able to lay them at the foot of Jesus Christ as you walk into heaven. But there will be crowns. But then there'll be a time of regret. This is a sorrowful thing, a time of regret. In verse 15, as I read in Corinthians, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet such as by fire. Man will be saved. Now, God has invested in you, and He's invested in me with a great price. But the fire is going to come, wood, hay, or stubble. He himself shall be saved. And he will be, and you will be in heaven. Why that you will not be burned? Because you're not the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. And the foundation cannot be burnt. That's the reason that you'll be going to heaven. Suffer loss. Now, the average person that say that they're saved, they say, well, just so I make it. If you're here today and you're going to heaven, well, just so I make it. Just so I make it in heaven. Build me a little cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. Well, I'm not going to hell. I'm just going to heaven, and I'm proud of that. I'm going to heaven, such as by fire he shall suffer loss. At the judgment seat, see, our works are going to be burnt. Oh, and you can see, if I could just turn back, I'd be a great soul winner. There's a lot of people just satisfied, say, well, I'm just saved. No commitment. Don't worry about anybody else, anything else. That's the majority of people that say they're saved's attitude. Maybe there was this man, supposing the story, did not believe in banks. He did not believe in putting his money in a bank. And very wealthy man, put all of his money in the dresser drawer of his house, all of his stocks, all of his bonds, his dollar bills in the dresser drawer. Him and his family were sleeping one night, and as he woke up choking and coughing, and the fire had engulfed the house. He was there on one of his house sleeping there with his money, but didn't have time to get to his money, get his money out. He was barely able to get out himself. Barely able to get out. Didn't save anything. He just got out alive. No time to save his money, no time to save his family, and no time to save his crying children or his crying wife. House was gone. Neighbor come up to him and put his arm around him. He says, my house is gone and everything, my children and my wife and all my money and everything is gone in fire. But I'm saved. I'm saved. Let's go out and have a steak and celebrate. I'm saved. What an attitude that would be, wouldn't it? But you know, there's people sitting right here today with that attitude about I'm saved and don't matter about anybody else, even my own family. No concern about how they are. No concern about their life and their way they might be able to see Jesus. I'm saved. I'm saved. Grandfather, grandmother, mothers and fathers, I'm saved. So let's just go out and celebrate and don't worry about anybody else. That would be a tragedy, tragedy, tragedy decision. When God saved us, he called us. And he commissioned us. He gifted us. He enabled us. And he empowered us. And God says for you to work for me. I pray this morning that God will seal this message in your heart. This message is not from me. This message is from God. And as sure as you sit here today, you will stand before Jesus Christ and you will stand before the torch test. And things are going to be revealed. Everything. You say, well, as long as I make it. Well, you keep saying that like this man said it. Let's just go out and celebrate. I made it. But how about the others? Mothers and fathers and their children. We come with a song for invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, you're not saved this hour, but you want to be saved, you can be saved. This will start the first day of your life. All you have to say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Yeah, but all the things I've done, it don't matter what you've done. God says, I have all power in heaven and earth. You see, this hour as you bow before Jesus Christ and give your life to Jesus Christ, you know that you could wake up and walk out of here a brand new person in Jesus Christ. And all your sins would be in God's forgiveness. That I'll remember them no more. But if you think that you're going to make it to heaven by your good works, you'll never make it. And then for those who are saved, all the works we have done, it's going to be tried such as by fire. You know, with that loss. It could be a great encouragement to us, or it could be great remorse. I'm afraid I'm going to have some remorses as I stand before Jesus Christ. Because that day's coming. My past, 2,000 years ago, my past sin has been took care of. The future I'm living in right now, I'm having a test of my stewardship. But one day in the future, I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ. And I won't be able to look at my wife and say, you know what, she called me to do this. I won't be able to look at my neighbor and say, how about them? I've done better than they did. You won't be able to turn around and look at anybody. You be face to face with Jesus Christ. And it says, every mouth shall be stopped. You will have no answer. You will stand there before Jesus Christ and see the life that you live before God. Rewards or loss, what would it be as we come to the song of invitation? Stand, please.